Oh, I got his ass now.
You have to be fast in the track.
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Go on, do my best, and what if they haven't said, it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
I'm about to light this shit up.
We don't start dialing at 9:30 because our clients are already answering the phone. 3, 2, 1, let's fuck!
Show number 160, Coffee Chatter Radio, baby. We had, you guys will hear from Tyler Brown today, chat about the new hole shot challenge he's putting on in September. We'll talk French champs. We'll preview the world's track a little bit after seeing it, obviously, in some videos. You know, shitload of different shit. What's up, James?
What's up to you, Daddy? Shitload of different shit today. It's Chatter Radio. You know, probably a little golf talk, probably a little BS in between, but also a little game I got for you at the end here, at the end of the show here.
I saw that game and I'm a fan of that game.
It's going to be a one-way game because, you know, right now you got the, with the way our system is working, you got the quick shots and I'll give you a one-way game that way, you know, reverse the action. So yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Me too. Big month in the BMX world, July. July is just the mecca, I feel like, for BMX months. And there's always just a big, like a lot of hype because the worlds are coming up. There's championships fucking everywhere right now. It's just a badass time for BMX every year.
It really is, hey? I mean, you want to talk about a big month, this is it. I kind of feel like it flows into August a little bit, but it's like this is the mecca, like you said. Like all the national championships that go down, that's a huge event for everyone. Huge event for us to watch, to be in, whatever. Euro champs, big one. And then obviously it's just a build up to worlds. It's always a, I feel like it's always a good build up. Worlds, like other than maybe Olympic years where I feel like worlds is a little early, it's kind of thrown in there a little quickly. There's usually a good build up and that's fun.
You know, it is fun. That is, that's a good way to put it. It's just fun.
Because like as a rider, it's really enjoyable. Like the build up of training to me, like if that's, dude, if you're not enjoying the training, like, if you enjoy training, that's the most fun time to be training. It's like the build up for a big race or worlds is it.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a fan.
You know, you're training for, you know, you're, I was just, sorry, I was just going to say, yeah. You know, you're training for a big one. You're usually pulling, you're feeling good. It's hot. It's dusty. It's just a badass time.
Exactly. And then if you're just a fan too, I mean, you just know there's anticipation. Like, you know, it's coming. It's like when you're getting ready for any, it's like when we're getting ready for the open, like for the weeks leading up, you know, it's coming. It's like, I'm just getting excited for that entire week.
So yeah, big weekend in the golf world. We're not going to get too into it because you know, people don't give a shit on here, but the Open Championship was at St. Andrews where James walked those holy grounds like we talked about last time. The course was as firm as a hardwood floor. And for anyone that knows golf, that is just a beautiful thing to see when the ground is that firm and the ball rolls 100 yards. You know, we dream about that over here and we just don't get it in North America. And you know what? It sounds dumb to you BMXers listening, but the firm ground on a golf course is just like, if you play a course with ground like that, you're like, this is going to be a time out here today, boys.
This is going to be something. There's just so many more elements to the game when the ground is firm. There's like,
yep,
it's just tougher. It's more fun. There's more challenges. It's fun. Do you think if BMX, if we had different type of services, like we had raced a hard track versus a soft one, that would be any fun? I don't think it would really.
I feel like we don't talk about it that much in BMX. I mean, for sure, if it's like a slurry, I'd say it's notably faster than like a limestone surface.
Definitely.
Fresh limestone.
Definitely, like if you compare them speed-wise, you can feel it for sure.
Mm.
Do you think one's like, no, I was going to say more fun than the other. There isn't really any differences to the way we ride the track on the surfaces, I would say.
No, I don't think so either, but I think a nice soil tacked or like slurred surface is definitely the best for sure.
Fair. I do like the feeling. I guess I'm really comfortable with the feeling of like a gravelly surface. That's just what we ride, but you go to a hard surface and it just feels like you're riding on concrete, like asphalt.
Yeah. And like whenever we used to go from home to Chula Vista, the track felt so fast. Like we ride the supercross tracks and they're just like pristine soil tack. Feels like you're flying.
It does. It feels like you're moving.
It does.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially because at home too, that, I mean, we have the crushed limestone, but I feel like a lot of our tracks too, like the dirt at home, at home is a bit rocky too. So we don't generally get like really pristine tracks, and because our weather kind of sucks, like we don't really get really smooth tracks overall, I feel like.
Not the same as if you get like a very good slurried track. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that our tracks, our surfaces get better with rain. Normally if it's baked out in the summer, it gets a little worn out in places. It just looks rough and raggedy. But as soon as it gets a good rain on it, it just seems to just mesh together a little better. Everything smoothens out. It's just way better somehow.
But like the dirt's something I've never really thought of.
No.
At our race.
It's kind of too bad. It's kind of like we don't have to think about it. Like can you imagine if we had to think about, okay, what track we're going to, what compound of tire we have to be riding.
Yeah, or in moto, like you always hear them talk about the dirt, if it's like sand or hard pack or whatever.
Yeah. They're like, okay, what tire choice are we going with today? Do we need a paddle out there? No paddle. It's so interesting.
I guess that if we run a dirt turns or asphalt corners, it's quite a bit different.
Do you think, like, I know I can say you're a few years retired now, but if we were having big races on dirt turns versus asphalt, would you switch tires, do you think?
No.
I have this
Because I would just use the same and just try and be as fast as I could down the hill and then just deal with the rest.
Yeah. I've thought about that before because I feel like the dirt turns where we would be riding nowadays too they're so hard packed anyways. I don't feel like any knobs would really do much benefit.
No, the track is so packed. I mean, the only thing is I think dirt corners are easier to slide out because you have a thin layer of dust and it's just not as much grip. But yeah. I wouldn't. Yeah. I think I have at like certain mud races I put on comp threes, like the tire. I think I did that in Phoenix before, I'm pretty sure. Like the really muddy year, I was like junior at Black Mountain.
That's for the super mudders though.
And I think the last time we raced the mudder in Phoenix, like 5 years ago, I didn't switch. And I was in fourth in the semi, and Bodie came out of the first turn and had the tires on and fucking blew past me.
That is seriously made such a difference at that one, though. It was so muddy.
Because I was spelling out of the first corner. I was like slipping. I felt like I was on ice, and he just blew past me like I was standing still.
You disregard all form in that sense. You just lean back on your bike and just pedal. Without those knobs, you just hook in and go.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, okay. I mean, yeah, it's whatever. It is what it is.
Epic. What are you going to do at that point?
You know, it's funny. If you have those knobby tires on compared to, like, I don't know, the typical like answer cars or Tioga's, like power blocks or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're pedaling on the road, boy, do you feel the resistance of those knobbies.
It's insane, isn't it?
Oh my God. Yeah. It feels like you're pushing a tooth harder.
It feels like you got like a tooth harder or a flat tire. You can feel the vibration in your hand of just like the tread hitting the ground, which just seems ridiculous, but you can feel it. You feel every little bit.
It's loud. You can hear it. It's like,
yeah. Speaking of loud tires, somehow I remember, I don't know if it was Alex or somebody, they always used to say, somehow you used to have the loudest tires out there. When you were doing an effort out of a turn, I remember you'd always make a joke. You always were like loud. Somehow your tires sounded loud.
Really?
It was the weirdest thing I remember. I don't know why. I don't know why it was. So weird. Yeah, but yeah, that was the thing.
Like the boom. Or like the boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
So random.
Okay, Europe. Winning starts the great gate. Sylvain Andre, great starter, French champion for the fourth time. What a fucking legend. He's already been a legend, but what a legend that guy is.
Dude, he's a legend. He has a legendary gate now, I'd say. He just loves the Pro Gate Europe these days. He's just starting to pop them off, hey?
Yeah.
I think it's because he's been practicing on one more often.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want a clown show gate at your home track. You got to have a Pro Gate Europe.
No, you need to go get one. If you're a rider out there, talk to your local track about getting one. If you're a track operator, go hit up ProGate Europe. Tell them Coffee Chatter sent you. Maybe you'll get a free high five from them. You never know.
Yeah, limited time offers are giving away free gate if you just say Coffee Chatter sent me. You have to email them or go up to Jan and say Coffee Chatter sent me, and then you'll get a free gate.
That's all it takes.
Do you think people have gone up and done it? I feel like people think we're kidding, even though we're serious. And people just haven't done it. They haven't gotten a free gate when they could have.
Can you imagine if no one's gone and done it and there's been a free gate just waiting for somebody?
God, how dumb are you people? You think we're kidding. Go up to Giannis, Coffee Chatter sent me, and he's just going to give you a new gate.
Like, Jan, Coffee Chatter said, if I come talk to you, there's a free gate. I'm here. Coffee Chatter sent me. Where's my free gate?
Try us.
Give it a shot. See what happens.
That's the great gate.
Before we talk about French champs, Nance, there's a funny question from, who was it here? Chris Wilkinson.
I feel like we sound really dumb saying Nance.
We're going to get to that too. We're going to get to that. From Chris Wilkinson in the YouTube chat, which Aussie has the better mullet, Isaac or Cameron Smith?
Cam Smith's mullet is savagery.
That thing hangs out the back of his hat. So dirty.
Yeah. So Cam Smith is Australian that just won the Open Golf Tournament on the weekend. So search Cam Smith mullet. It is just the best mullet I've ever seen.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's long now too. Apparently, so did you see the interview last year when they asked him about it, like a golf tournament? He's like, they said, what's with the mullet? He's like, well, my girlfriend hates it. My friends think it's hilarious. So I'm going to keep it.
He's a guy's guy. He's guy's guy move right there.
Guy's guy. For the boys. So Vegas race this past weekend, dude, that is just the smallest track in the world.
It's insane how tight it is. Hey.
Oh my God. Like some of my riders were sending me videos of whatever the first straights and laps and stuff. And like from the outside, it's never impossible, but like, it's pretty much impossible from lane eight.
I'd say so. You have to be quite a bit faster to get around from the outside there. It's nuts. Especially because there's not really much pedaling. They usually they have a couple jumps down the first straightaway, and so it's like a couple pedals to the first jump, maybe one or two pedals after that jump, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah, pro racing, like that would be. I mean, it's even smaller than Disney Cup. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, way smaller. No, it's way smaller. Oh yeah,
it is. Yeah, it is. You can even tell like from the length of the first straight, because Disney Cup was tiny in that stadium in Orlando.
That was a small one. But you look back at that, like it looks tiny. If they were to race, can you imagine if there was a full on pro race in Vegas? It would just be who's getting lane one and who's getting like lane three or not getting cut off in two or something.
Yeah, because I remember the last time I raced Disney Cup, because they ran three mains.
Yep.
So like the days I was in the main, I think the first round, I mean, Sam won like all three mains. So because he was better than everyone, but everyone else was pretty close. So like the first main, the dudes who were in like lanes 2, 3, 4 got like second, third, fourth. And then us in like 6, 7, 8. And then we switched next round. And then we got second, third, fourth. Those guys got 6, 7, 8.
That's hilarious.
And everyone going to last round, we had like a 2 and a 7th or like a 3 and an 8th or something. Like each lane choice, you have to pretty much be on the inside the whole shot.
That's huge, hey? It's so important. Yeah. There's got to be some good explosions in if they were racing there too. There's no room to like not have a crash go on in a turn.
No. And I mean, you definitely have to race indoor in Vegas this time of year. You couldn't race outdoor.
Oh, dude, it'd be so hot.
You'd die.
Every time Connor would post like stories back in the day, like of him like outside training for whatnot, he'd be there at like 7 in the morning and it's like 105 degrees.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It would actually be like a health hazard to have the race outside right now.
There'd be a lot of people overheating, hey?
100%. People would probably die.
That's not a good look.
It's a legitimate problem if you couldn't.
No, that'd be bad. That'd be a bad look. I really would.
Isn't that wild, like for us from Canada to think about that?
It honestly is. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I know, because it's just so weird. Yeah.
Summer is just. I want to be outside all the time right now.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the USA BMX had another good turnout in Vegas, which is really cool.
They know how to run a race. They pump them out.
Yeah, man. 3 days too. Like 3 days is tough to race a national. Like they're doing it every time now too for amateurs. Well, I guess pros too with UCI days, but 3 days is not easy.
That's long. Even for the officials and like Justin Wall out there doing like social media for 3 days, just morning to nighttime. You got to be out there for all the racing.
Yeah.
That's exhausting. That is
super exhausting, especially when you consider, I mean, Saturday, they probably ran the mains at like midnight, Vegas.
Could have been. Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't paying attention obviously, but yeah.
Yeah. So, good race to the amateurs. Yeah.
Do you want to take the first shot at saying the name?
So I don't even know how to say where the Worlds is this year. So, you know, usually like, I mean, Canada has obviously, as we know, like a French part.
Yeah.
And we took French in school and I spent a lot of time in France. So generally, if we see a word, we know how to pronounce it more or less.
Yeah. We can fumble our way. Yeah. We can fumble our way through it normally.
Yeah. We can fake it. No clue with this one.
I sent Sylvan a message like an hour ago. Obviously, he's asleep now. Ask him how to pronounce it because I got no clue either.
I think some people say Nance or Nantes, which are both very incorrect.
Yep.
I'm going to go with like, I don't want to say it's like Nantes. I don't know if that's, you know, if that's like decently correct. I don't even know.
I'm going to go. Okay. So I looked it up on the Google and you know, it tries to give you like,
Nantes. It's probably like Nantes or Nantes.
Heard like Nantes, like the ES wasn't even there. Just Nantes. I'm gonna go with Nantes, and I could be completely wrong too. I could have been looking up a Nantes from a different country because I'm pretty sure there's another Nantes.
When does you feel really stupid trying to say it?
God, what a couple of jackasses we could be. So I'm going with Nantes. We're gonna look for our French friends of the show to help us out here afterwards once we've already sounded like jackasses. But go with Nantes.
Yeah, it might be because they don't really say S's in French.
Not.
I mean, it's obviously a city, but like, what's the closest kind of big city? Because I don't think Nantes is a big city. I don't think it's a big city.
Yeah, great question. I don't know. What do we think of the track, guys? We got our first race on it now with their French national champs. We'll get to that, but track thoughts initially. What'd you think?
Not a big fan. I'm actually kind of disappointed. The track is really short overall. Like I saw I can't remember if it was Eddie or Sylvain, or probably both of them had like around 28 second lap time, which is really short. Like that's like Abbotsford. Mm-hmm. So in terms of supercross, it's not very big. So I don't like that because I think for the world, it should be longer and test you more. Mm-hmm. Looks fairly hard to pass. I think like certainly you can pass, but looks somewhat hard to pass, fairly tight. The first straight I really don't like when I first saw Eddie's time trial, he didn't pedal and I was like, what's he doing? Like I was wondering if he wasn't trying or something. You'll hear us talk about that with Tyler too in a bit, but yeah, I don't like the fact that they weren't pedaling on the first straight, which I'd like to hope in racing they would. Other than that, like the jumps aren't bad by any means. Looks, you know, decently tech and, you know, looks fine otherwise. I think the last jump is kind of cool and will cause some drama, but overall, I think for a world in France, a little disappointing.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, all my thoughts are similar. The actual build, the way the jumps are built, everything looks great. So who was it? Was it Diggs and ProTrax combined, I think, built the track together? Something like that. But yeah, like the jumps themselves look great, but the area that they had to build in clearly was small because it's tight. It's pretty small. First straight with three jumps. I mean, there is virtually no pedaling down the first straight and they're not even jumps. Like you jump the first one by the looks of it. You need to get up quite a bit. The lip didn't look that steep. And then it's just like, yeah, a couple manuals basically. Good size second straight for the guys. Girls even looked okay. But then after that, you're right. Like the passing options are going to be pretty slim. I think these days when we're trying to throw in like a straightaway like that, where one, it's a combined straight, but two, it's combined for worlds as well. So they're trying to make it okay for all the younger riders and whatnot. It's very easy. It's a lot easier for us, which means you carry a lot of speed. And with the tight inside you, like there's just going to be a lot of follow the leader, I feel like, and unless you really drive it in there or somebody makes a mistake in front of you.
Have we ever raced a supercross track with a sweeper first corner?
I don't think 2014.
Yeah. 2014?
Yeah, Rotterdam. Yeah.
Forgot about that. But yeah, that's the only one I can ever think of. It's very rare. It's not really a thing.
No. Which obviously if you're gonna have a sweeper, I mean obviously you're not doing the inside U on a supercross hill. But the sweeper doesn't look like a bad sweeper for the supercross hill in the sense that it looks like just a normal size turn for us.
Yeah.
We'll see how it is for the younger kids, but it makes that inside turn tight.
Yeah. And the sweeper too, it makes it harder from the outside because someone can just go way inside and easily make a corner so I don't love the sweeper corner either. And then yeah, like the third and fourth straight looked very tight, like especially through the last corner. So, and you know, the track builders only have the space they're given. So it's not like they could have made a 35 second track in the area, but
yeah, that's a problem too.
I'd say a little disappointing for an overall world's track.
Yeah. It's usually, I think we might've said this before, but I always used to think that the world's track was always the big burly one of the year. Like it was always the tester. Yeah. Even for the amateurs. And nowadays it seems like it's going a little the opposite. They're making it more mellow for everyone. So kind of a bummer because you're always looking forward to it. But I guess that last jump on the track is something to look forward to because that's going to be causing some chaos, I feel like.
Yeah. And I think for the amateurs, it'll be fine because they're used to running like shorter, tighter tracks anyway, especially in North America. So I think like probably be a decent challenge for the amateurs. I think for the pros, it'll be a bit small, but amateurs, I think will be fine.
Yeah. Do you think USA amateurs will have any more of an advantage because they're used to maybe indoor tracks that they ride? I don't really think it's going to be much, but maybe.
I always find it fascinating to see top US amateurs race the worlds because the tracks are vastly different.
Usually, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they really are this time around, or it is this time, but.
Yeah. We'll see. So I'm actually quite excited to see the US amateurs race against the rest of the world. And especially too, because I find the rest of the world usually compares themselves to against some top amateurs in the US because it probably see the races a bit more. So it'd be kind of interesting to see because a lot of those riders haven't raced each other either.
I feel like it's always a time where in the pro ranks, you race each other all the time in Europe, North America, South America, wherever. But when you're a kid, I feel like that's the one race a year where people from Europe and people from North and South America finally meet.
Yeah, it's like, let's see who has the best races, yeah. Baby.
Yeah.
And it's funny, there's usually like, especially in amateurs, there's usually a few studs from like every, or smaller countries. So like a smaller country might have like one star who just goes out and wins, or you know what I mean?
Yep. It's so cool.
Yeah, they might not have like the depth, but then they have a couple riders that make the mains or whatever. And that's cool. Like you'll see the smaller countries, especially rallying behind someone who's in the main because they might not have as many riders in the main. Like, I think that part of the world is so special. It's really cool.
Yeah. Man, you think about it too. Like it takes a lot for one rider to come out of a country that doesn't have much BMX mm-hmm. in their life to be able to do that. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it is. And the world as an amateur is such a special race. Like it's the only real international race you do every year and your class is way bigger. You get to race in front of a huge crowd.
Yeah.
And then you get introduced in the gate like the pros do. And the whole show is exciting. And yeah, that's just the best race of the year.
Yeah. It's cool. Let's quickly touch on French national champs, Mr. Sylvain André, four time. So is he four back to back to back to back? Or is he just won it four times?
I feel like I don't think he's won the last four in a row. I think probably just four in general. Although I don't quote me on that, but I don't think he's won the last four.
Cause I think he's won the last three at least in a row. So I'm thinking I'm going with the four. I'm not going to have to, because I just feel like thinking back to the guys wearing the French jersey, I feel like he nipped Joris one of the years. And I just think he's won the last four.
Maybe he has. Maybe I'm wrong then. I thought he hadn't, but
that's part of the fun.
We need to fact check that.
Yeah, we'll get a fact checker. MJ fact checker, maybe from Sylvain himself.
Yeah.
He looked good though. Good first straight. Coming out of like six or whatever he was in.
Yeah.
Just looked clean, looked clutch. You smoothed down the first straight. Guys on the inside were kind of bumping.
What a start Jeremy had at the main two. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna be the one hole shotting when I first started watching the video. Yeah.
Going back to my comment, I mean they do pedal a bit more in racing than time trial.
A little bit, right? But it's still so minute.
The second straight does look pretty fun, actually.
It looks like pretty big jumps, good flow. I mean, you carry good speed out of the first turn.
So. But the third and fourth straights are extraordinarily tight. And it seems like from the second turn to the finish line, you just fucking rip single file.
That's what it feels looks like, right?
Yeah. I don't think you can really pass on the second or the third, fourth straights unless you send somebody off the last corner.
Yeah. You got to send them or you're going to have to rail that last turn.
You're going to have to just send them off the last corner. Awesome crowds at the French national champs too.
Man, they love it. Hey, the video there, the crowd was going nuts in the final.
Really
cool. Really cool to see. They get behind the guys.
It's cool to see the women have to jump the triple two on the second straight. Yeah. Like it's obviously a lot faster for them to have to do that, or for the women that can do that, I should say.
Yeah.
Third straight also offers a few different lines, like Jeremy and Sylvain doing completely different lines in the main.
Yeah, there's that kind of jump across line, or you got to go kind of manual, double manual out line, which I think it was cool. Like they both seemed like they worked. Both lines were quick.
So we need to talk about how Mathilde and Camille ate shit on the last jump and still got second and third.
Yeah, Mathilde, wasn't it Charlotte?
Oh, Charlotte, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Unbelievable. So from what I know, they still got second and third, right? Like that's what you're seeing too. They're on the podium. There's a picture of them on the podium.
How the fuck did this happen? I mean, the video from 15, like it's from the first straight, so you can't really see where the finish line is. But yeah, so it was Mathilde that went to jump and then cased it and ate shit across the line, right?
Yeah.
And then Camille went to like launch off the roller, Charlotte. Didn't jump. And Charlotte, and then smoked her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that is explosion at the line. And the fact that they still got second and third, clearly they must have slid across the line or something, is unreal.
You know what? I'd actually like to see the finish line push farther back. So like if you make a mistake, you can't just like limp across the line. You gotta make the last jump stick and then hold it for another 10 meters or something.
That's a good point. Yeah. That'd be kind of fun because you're right. Right. I guess right now it's probably like you could still get your way across.
You can do what they did and just eat shit and still cross the line.
Yeah. Gosh, that's nuts, eh?
That's so wild. So I think if you crash across the line, you have to be touching your bike.
Isn't it? Yeah, you have to be touching or have like two or three parts touching the bike. It can't just be like one hand.
I think you can just have like one hand. So technically, like we were talking before Rio, like me and Connor and stuff, like if you were like battling someone for a medal, would you just fucking let go and just
I've always thought about that too, just absolutely sending the bike ahead of you.
You probably wouldn't, because like you wouldn't be like thinking that.
You wouldn't, but what if you did? What if all of a sudden you come to the line, you're like, oh fuck, I'm gonna do this. And you just go stride it with your feet still attached.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you'd probably be ahead too.
Gosh, that'd be unbelievable.
You'd probably just lose all the skin on your back and give yourself a concussion in the meantime.
Just whiplash your neck. Yeah, you'd be down for the count.
You fuck yourself up bad, but you'd probably get the photo finish.
Jeez.
You'd have to time it right though to make sure your wheel just didn't jackknife left or something.
No, I think you'd be all right with that. Yeah, it would be tough, but you could do that.
Actually, yeah, especially the speed you're going. And who cares at that point? You're falling anyway, I guess.
Yeah. Dude, that'd be nuts. That would be nuts.
But obviously the last jump, like we talked before, doesn't seem to be a thing for the guys either. I mean, they just bunny hop over it, no problem.
Yeah, it was pretty chill, pretty easy looking. It was harder for them to get down after they jumped up that high.
Actually, yeah, because the backside's pretty steep.
Yeah. I'll run through my quick notables here. Romain, he had lane one, I saw, so he's clearly looking good, but didn't make it happen in the main. Like I said, Jeremy Pop went off. Same with Eddie from the outside. I think he was an eight in the final.
It's hard to see in the video, but what did Jeremy do over the jumps? Because he looked like he was a bit ahead down the hill.
I don't know exactly. I don't know if he was banging bars a little bit down the hill, but I don't think he got over the first jump clean. I think that was kind of the only little mistake. Like I just don't think he got over clean enough. And Sylvan was on a razor's edge, but clean on a razor's edge.
So, right.
Saw Joris's post too. Sounds like, you know, he had a bad start in the final, but probably still hurting from that slam at Euros. I think he'll be a good form for Worlds. Give us a couple more weeks, a couple races under his belt now. Something to watch out for.
He always is really good at the Worlds. He peaks for it really well, and it's typically his best race of the year, I think.
Yeah. So, a few notables there.
Yeah. Is that Camille's first national champs, like win?
Great question. I got to think it is. Yeah, because I mean, she's had really tough competition with Axel and Poofy Hair.
Manon,
thank you. There we go.
Poofy Hair.
Sorry, slipped my mind. So, yeah, good for her. That's cool. She's been coming around, hey?
Yeah, she's a 4-6 4-6 woman at the World Cup. So good to see her win the national champs.
Yeah, well deserved.
Yeah, real great.
Should we get into Tyler?
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's get into Tyler, and you guys will hear all about his whole shot challenge.
Yeah, this is gonna take me a moment, T. So we're gonna have to keep talking until I get this video playing.
We're just gonna talk amongst ourselves. What do you people think of the of the world's race? Post in the chat, or not the world's race, the world's track. Post in the chat. What do you think of the track? Brandon Watson, US riders don't like peaky jumps. Well, they don't get the opportunity to race them, so.
All right, T, here we go.
Buddy?
Oh, man, I'm excited. How did I get on camera with two such good-looking dudes here?
Oh, you know, you bring up our average. That's why we needed to have you on.
Oh, man, what a good show.
So, exciting news. Whole Shot Challenge coming back to your track. So, maybe, yeah, just walk us through it. Like, you obviously post about it the past week on your Instagram and stuff, but maybe just walk us through the process of you wanting to do it and everything.
I'll be honest, it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, but just the timing wasn't really right. Like, I think the last few years I'd find kind of focusing on my racing, things like that. And then I'm not racing as much this year. And my goal last year was to get the number one track in California and have the state final, which we did. So now that we've got the state final, we got a huge built-in audience. It was kind of time to switch modes back into race mode and see, not race myself mode, but see what kind of race I could put on. And it just makes sense to bring the Whole Shot Challenge back again.
That was one of those events when you guys did it that I think everybody was like, damn, like there is another cool event we could do for BMX, something way different. And you guys made it work really well. So I think I got to think a lot of people, especially even just viewers and fans, are pretty stoked to see this.
I hope so. It's something that took a massive amount of work last time and it went off pretty good with a couple of little hitches that I want to correct for this time. But it's something that has a ton of potential. And I think the goal isn't really to do another BMX race. The goal is to produce an event and make it a real show. And I think this is kind of has the format to allow us to do that.
And on top of that, like there's some good prize money. It looks like you have some good sponsors on board for it too.
Yeah, I was super excited. To be honest, the sponsorship was really easy. I think I reached out to maybe six people and I got four yeses out of those six and the sponsorship was closed and wrapped up. I've had the exact opposite problem where I've had people like, hey, we want to be part of this. And it's kind of like, well, the sponsorship package is kind of already locked in. But we have a good mix of sponsors as well, from in industry stuff like Fly being the presenting sponsor, all the way to some outside stuff that I work with locally, like Aztec Fire and Safety, Attorney King, and one that I'm stoked about too, Laguna Niguel GMC. So we got a car dealership to support the race too.
So how'd you reach out to the companies? Like for people, I mean, a lot of people say like, it's hard to get sponsorships for this and that, but like really all you have to do is call them or reach out to them and present it and see, right?
I think I'm lucky in the respect that I know a lot of these guys. And it was literally like a personal email or phone call. Like yeah. I call up Ray at Fly, like, hey man, I want to do this race again. I'm going to send you a sponsorship thing. Take a look at it. And he responds back, cool, I'll have an answer for you by tomorrow. I'm going to meet with the boss now. So little things like that, but the Whole Shot Challenge was so successful last time around that by able to show these guys the analytics and what we did last time and say, hey, this event was like a stepping stone and this year is going to be way bigger and here's why, like for everybody, but I think two gave me, sorry, we don't have the budget for it right now. Everybody else said yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. The fact that you're able to go to them and be like, I love the fact that you're not just going to them, okay, this is what we did. We're going to do it again. It's like, here's what we did. Here's how we're going to make it better. And this is what we're going to provide. That's like the perfect solution.
Well, I think the Whole Shot Challenge stems from all of that in general, right? Like we all sit down, whether it's on the podcast with your friends at a race, we'll go, hey, BMX would be better if we did ... But instead of kind of doing that, that's where the whole Shot Challenge started, on a podcast, just like you guys are doing. And we said, screw it. Let's put on an event. Let's do what we think could be better. And so this time I'm just doing that same business model again. I look at it as not only an event and a race, but a proof of concept. Hey, mm-hmm. Here's my roadmap. Here's what I did. Here's how I did it. Here's how you can, whether that be you as James Palmer, whether that mean USA BMX, whether that mean a track in Kansas, like they can follow the same format and here's what worked and didn't. And ultimately the pros are going to get paid more. The events are going to be better. And it's kind of a win-win for everybody all around.
What I think is really cool what you're doing too is giving the pros a portion of the spectator fee or whatever, like whatever, I can't think of the word off the top of my head, but I think that's cool because it incentivizes the pros to promote it as well and make it bigger for themselves.
Well, not to sound on repeat here, but like what I did on my social media posts, I just tried to take what I see works in other sports and apply it to BMX racing. So Conor McGregor, why does that guy go on tour before an event? Because yep. He sells pay-per-view, because people want to see that fight.
Yep.
So he does that because he knows that every person he goes, gets in contact with, every person he types up goes, man, I want to see that fight. I'm going to pay and watch it. Well, I think in BMX racing, our pros are massively underutilized. Like you guys all have huge followings. You guys are super personable. Well, you guys like James, like, hey, I'm going to be here. Everybody, like, make sure that you come out to this race and I'm going to be signing autographs. I'm even going to do a number plate giveaway on my own besides the event, because I know that every person that walks through that door, I'm going to get a percentage of ticket sales. So I want every single person there.
It's huge. Yeah, it's really big. Because how many times before, like, do riders, us, myself included, been like, why am I going to post about it? Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I'm already here. Let's just focus on the race. Well, now it's an event. Now it's like, let's post about it. Let's get more people and so on and so on. And it's going to create more hype for everything. And people are going to be excited to hype it up for sure, which I think is really cool.
Dude, you nailed it on the head. Not to be rude, but like, when it comes to a race, I want the least amount of people there in the respects that less competition means more options for me to get paid. It also means the race day can run quicker. I'm going to have to spend less time in the track. Like the current racing, it doesn't matter who's there because there's no incentive for me to make the event bigger or blow it up. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But
totally. Yeah.
If 3,000 people show up and I'm going to add $6,000 to $9,000 to your purse, there's going to be a reason for you to be hustling a little bit to get people through that door.
Yeah. And it's good because, I mean, I think a lot of BMXers complain about how people don't come watch and everything. It's like, well, now if you work for it, more people come watch and you'll make more money. So it's kind of like, all right, guys, let's go.
Yeah.
And realistically, the type of work that we're talking about is like doing social media posts in between your training that you already have to do anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm gonna be at the Whole Shot Challenge. Make sure you come find me. I want to do this. I want to meet you guys. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I'll be in San Diego on September 10th. So make sure you come out and check us out. So it's gonna promote their sponsors. It's gonna allow them to promote themselves. It's gonna allow them to promote the event. And it's one of those things that there's really not a loser, because then the pros are gonna be more accessible to the riders that are gonna be there. The riders are gonna get to meet the pros. The event gets bigger. The money gets bigger. The production gets bigger. And then who knows? Maybe there's more of these next year too.
I'd hope so. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, what was the decision to bring USA BMX on board to help with that? Cause they're doing, I guess, helping with the live feed, right?
Yeah. So basically that was a partnership specifically for the live feed, because I blew it last time and everybody knows it. There's two problems with the Whole Shot Challenge the first time around. Number one, we did it on a Monday night. That was just our night when we did the podcast. So there wasn't a ton of people there. We still did pretty good. We did like 300 ticket sales.
Still pretty good.
Yeah. Not bad. Absolutely not bad. So that's why we're going to do it with the state final this year. A good state final will get 700 to 1,000 riders that'll show up to race, plus friends and family. So we have a built-in potential audience of a couple thousand right there if we get those people to show up. So
awesome. Yeah.
That was problem number one. Problem number two was the live stream. I was trying to run a race, run a podcast, and do everything all at once. And for those that remember the show, the main event may or may not have been broadcasted live. and you know what, I'll cop that one on the chin. Maybe I purposely set the bar low so we can make the bar better next time.
Do you know of anyone that's any pros from out of town that are wanting to come at this point, and what's the overall format for the race going to be?
So we've got a good list of invited riders. I'm locking in my final two at the moment. We had a couple that were going to make it and then unfortunately can't due to other things. They may or may not know if they're going to come. So we're working on our 8 invited list, but I hope riders from all over. I mean, last time David Graff flew all the way out from Switzerland just to do the Whole Shot Challenge and then flew back home. So yeah. It's got potential. Like I said, there's right now there's 6K up for grabs as a base base pro payout. Plus we're giving a percentage of all ticket sales. So realistically, I think this thing could hit easy 10K. We might be pushing closer to 15K that we're going to be giving out. So there's going to be a lot of money. Basically, we're going to have 8 invited riders that are going to go to the night show. During the day, we're going to do an open qualifier for 8 more pros and then 8 amateurs as well. So
nice.
24 will go to the night show. Top four move on until we have 8 only. And then just like last Whole Shot Challenge, we drop the last place every round until there's only 2 guys on the gate to see who wins.
Love it.
That's awesome. My favorite part is that when you start dropping one, like I remember watching last time, so when you're only dropping one and you know the guys just keep having to bang it out, yeah. I love that.
And then I think it's going to be cool too, because we also have a couple different scenarios too, like the Monster Energy Cup. If the dude wins every single main event, he gets paid $1 million. So we're going to do the same thing, that if one rider wins every lap of the night, they're going to take home the whole prize purse, everything.
Oh, shit.
So just put that into perspective. Imagine the night's happening and you're on the gate and the dude next to you has won 7 times. If you don't beat him once, even if you get second, if you don't beat him one time, you make absolutely nothing and your night's over and you made no cash.
Oh, I'd be pissed.
I'd be so pissed if that happened. Can you imagine? Yeah.
But then imagine if you're that guy. Like, think of the pressure. Think of the hype. Think of the buildup the event could have. Like, James is 2 gates away from winning $15,000. Can he do it?
Oh, and that's so cool.
And Tori's on the gate next to him going, hell no, he's not. I got to beat him once.
I love the little, those little extra pieces in all the sports, like all of them, like Supercross, like the Monster Energy Cup, where you're getting this idea from. But like you look at Formula One, the different things, like the fastest lap, like all these little extra bits to me add so much more entertainment, like just to it. Because then it's not just the race. It's like there's added bits.
And that's what I think, that's what we need, is we need some entertainment to what we're doing. And I say this in the least disrespectful way possible, but there's not much difference in what is happening on a World Cup versus what I do every Wednesday and Friday, except for obviously the talent is way better and the tracks are obviously harder. Like, you pros are phenomenal and you're amazing, but your race format is the exact same thing that I do on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of my goal of this, is to showcase the pros, showcase the riders, pay you guys, and turn it into an exciting event. Because we're also doing something that I stole from Monster Energy 2. We used the last one. We've got the Joker card that you can pick for Lane Choice 2. So lane choices are going to be, we're going to draw them with a deck of cards, boom, 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 and then say, Tori, you get the Joker card. Well, once everybody selected their gates, you have the option to pick the open gate, or you can pull somebody out of the gate and make them take what's left.
I think Posey did that to me at the Whole Shot Challenge last time.
But imagine you've got like Neek. He's lined up in gate 8, and the only thing that's open is gate 4 in between two heaters.
Yeah.
Whole strategy, like, sorry, Neek, you're out. I want 8. You go in gate 4.
Yeah.
You got to kick Neek out of 8. You got to kick him out.
But then it adds to it too, because now you've got to be that guy to like man up to go, hey, tap that guy on the shoulder. You're out. I want that gate.
Yeah.
And honestly,
I love that.
Although it's going to be a fun event, when there's that much money on the line, when you get in the gate, like, you're locked in and it's game time. You're serious. You know what I mean?
And I think the first straight too at San Diego BMX will be really good for it. Like, that's a really kind of really good normal first straight to train on and to battle on, I think.
It's like definitely your traditional yeah, like
cool
grind of a first straightaway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got to pedal mail the first jump too.
I think that the first turn is going to be a little bit tight for 8 big dudes, but it could add to some of the drama. You know what I mean?
Yep. How did you, so I know you said you got most of your 8 pros picked. How did you go about deciding which ones you were looking to invite? Did you pick them based on their first rate speed, what you see in, or is it kind of, maybe was it popularity on Instagram, that kind of thing, or what was it?
A combo of everything. Like, I mean, I guess we can kind of release who some of the guys that we have already, although I don't have them all locked in. You guys get the exclusive coffee chat.
Ooh, yeah, I love me a little exclusive.
So we've got Anthony Bicardo, because he's not unfortunately for him, he's the last San Diego pro that lives here in San Diego, because we don't really have any pros here anymore.
That's crazy to me, by the way. Like, that in itself is so weird.
It's insane, considering we used to have like 20 pros and now we have, we have one guy.
Yeah.
So we've got Bicardo, because he's the local guy. Cam Larson, he's obviously a first-rate killer. And then I just looked for other pros that are across the country that are going to bring different things. You have another first-rate killer, Cam Wood. We have Jeremy Smith.
Right on.
And we have Corbin Sherraw. And then we're working on a couple others to kind of lock in those last two spots. Oh, and Josh McLean as well.
Oof.
Awesome. Good crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Really so good. Fingers crossed Joris is going to be able to make it out, because he was the last time champ. So I've got a spot semi-reserved for him. We're going to give him a couple more weeks to lock it in. And just because I think he won last year, and I think he deserves the champ last year, deserves an auto invite to the show.
Yeah.
You know, talking about, using other sports, every winner should have an automatic invite in. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, this could be a classic, a yearly invitational.
And then my last one that's on the maybe list, it's to be confirmed, is Isaac Kennedy. I think he's been on a tear this year.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, Isaac would be a good dark horse, I think.
Yeah, But all of those guys as a whole are like, they're, I mean, every pro realistically, every pro is hole shot kings. You know what I mean? Like they all kill it down the first straightaway now.
Yeah.
So there's so many guys that I want to invite. I want Neek to show up. He wasn't sure if he's going to be able to make it. I love Simon to come out with him. I love Sylvain, who's obviously on a roll right now. Like it was so hard. So I went with the guys who I think are going to be able to make it. Oh, sorry. Hold on.
That's Sylvain just confirmed. That's Sylvain just confirming his attendance right now.
Yeah, that's what he's doing right now.
I think we should start calling out Sylvain and maybe we just like guilt trip him into going no matter
Sylvain's what. Sylvain's got to go. He didn't go to the last one. Like he's got to go to this one for sure.
Like he says he's Mr. Live to Race. This is a race, baby.
This has gotten Sylvain written, his name is written all over it.
Well, and it's a fun event. It's his style. There's a lot of money up for grabs. So he's definitely on my list that I'd love to have him come out.
You're getting called out now, Sylvain. This is your official secondary podcast call out. Like you need to do it.
So in
he's coming on the show, right? He's going to be on the show with this one today, right?
No, he won't be on.
No, we just used his photo for the post.
Perfect.
So in terms of watching, you can have a beer garden for the BMX parents or anything like that.
Fingers crossed. We're working on it because we obviously have to have a liquor license to be able to do that. Yeah. So we're working on our food vendor is in the process of seeing if she can pull that off. So as long as she can pull that off, then yeah, I'd love to have that. Cause again, it just goes back to what's creating a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think we have potential to make the stands absolutely packed there. And Tori, you've been to San Diego BMX a little bit more recently, like just the vibe there, the hype there under the lights. I think it could be a ton of fun.
Yeah. My parents are going to be in town for it. So I think we'll probably all come out and watch.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. I might even do a little VIP section on the track in between the second and third straightaway.
That's a good idea. Nice.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. If there's one thing BMX parents like to do, it's have a beer and watch BMX.
Listen, the amount of alcohol that gets drank at my track on a state race weekend anyway, I might as well be selling it.
Seriously, you might as well.
Oh, absolutely. Those things are a party in the pits every single weekend.
Oh, I love that. You know what I think is going to be great is that the way your track works with the inside you, once they finish, you know, say the winner finishes, they're just going to be, you know, going by the fans along the third straightaway there, just waving to the crowd. He's just going to be right there with them.
And they have that fan interaction. That's what's super cool about it is they're going to be able to have those kids lining up the fence. They're going to be giving high fives to the kids going along the fence. And then it brings it into, because it is still the state finals weekend, which is going to be huge for the amateurs. So I think it's going to be super motivating for the kids to go out and watch that. And then they get to go out and battle the next day. You know what I mean?
Totally. So
what about what about intros? You thought of doing some special intros or anything like that? Or what's the plan for intros?
That's a must. I think we have to.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to do general introduction for your 8 amateurs and 8 pros that make it. And what I say by that is maybe bring them all out and announce their names and who they are, because I still think that those guys, amateurs and the pros, deserve their spot because they have to make it through the qualification. But the 8 individual guys, I want to do it a lot like Supercross does, or like we did last time. Like, Tori, what's your intro? You get to pick your song that you get to come out to and how you want to come out. Do you want to run through the third straightaway? Do you want to do the triple through the rhythm? Do you want to high five through the grandstands and walk out? Like, I want each of those riders to kind of pick based on their personality and who they are. Yeah,
I love it.
Shoot, maybe Picardo will come out rapping. We'll give him the mic and he'll come out singing a rap on t-shirts. You know what I mean?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
He just starts spitting bars and he's got a couple chicks or a couple people behind him just throwing t-shirts out to the crowd with a little t-shirt gun or something. That'd be hilarious.
He can just skateboard down the hill and do whatever he needs to do.
Nick's just going to drive his bike on the track again this time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened last time. If Simon comes, he can flex his calves or something, or maybe hit a little squat down at the bottom of the hill to show off anything. You never know.
You know what the cool thing is too? Like even though it was 5 years ago, the last Whole Shot Challenge was you guys put on, like people still talk about it. Like people still remember it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Cause it was a lot of work last time around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine you talking about doing all of it yourself too. That's a lot to do.
Well, and then how cool would it be too if we can, like, I don't know, I don't necessarily know if this needs a series, right? Because I don't want to water it down. I don't want to take away from traditional racing and the series of what it is, but maybe do like an East Coast and a West Coast. Maybe do like one at San Diego BMX and maybe one on a Supercross hill somewhere. So you kind of have that variation. Like realistically, the possibilities are endless. You know what I mean? There could be tons that can be done with it.
I think it would be really cool to have on a Supercross first straight too.
Yeah.
Best of both worlds. Best of both.
Like Beijing's first straight, I think would be pretty cool to do one.
That would be the perfect one.
I think so too. The only thing, I guess, is the finish line out of the first corner again?
Yeah.
I guess the only thing that'd be tough on Supercross, and I guess you just got to jump a pro section.
Yeah, you just come out and have to at least jump that first step up.
Yeah, you just got to jump the step up every time.
That's all right. We can do speed and style. It can be a race to the first turn, then you get an extra bonus for best trick out of the first turn.
Just gonna get racers doing big bar humps.
Yeah. What's the exact date of it again?
The weekend as a whole is September 9th, 10th, and 11th. So right. Friday night is just your typical Friday night out at San Diego BMX. Saturday morning, and that's where it's going to be a double header, because Saturday morning will be a double points race for the amateurs so the kids can race, but also your open qualifier for the amateurs and the pros. And then Saturday night is the whole shot challenge. And then Sunday, the 11th, is the SoCal State Final.
Awesome.
So there's going to be a couple ways. We're working on how we're going to do the qualifying for the amateurs and pros. We're trying to possibly get a timing system out there. If we do get the timing system out there, it's going to be based on times for the amateurs. So like the kids will race their own specific class, and then your 8 fastest times will move on to the night show. Or if that doesn't happen, then we're just going to just do like a simple sign up, and then whoever makes the main event gets it.
Just do a time qualifying like motocross does. You got practice. You can do as many first rates as you want. You just got to clock a few fast ones.
Exactly. Well, that's basically kind of what we're going to do, is we'll take your times, and then the fastest 8 times will move on to the night. However that looks. Being practice, it might be a little weird because all the amateurs are going to be there. But if you're racing 16X and you bring a heater, then you're going to go to the night show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, dude, I love it. I'm really loving it.
I'm looking forward. I think it's going to be fun, and I appreciate the support from the pros. I appreciate the support from the industry. So let's just make it a heck of a weekend, blow it up, and make it big.
As mediocre media people ourselves, we are going to do our best to hype this up, because it's going to be an event to watch.
Are you coming?
I don't know yet.
Well, you might have to take it down.
I might have to now. I'm coming. Yeah, I might have to now. I might have to start working that flat hill sprint.
And James?
People are going to want Sylvan out there. He's Mr. Theatrics.
No way. No way.
I'll just bring the mic.
James, you can just ride naked, like holding like a coffee chatter, like a flag or something for your introduction.
Just an absolute thong, just with the flag for my intro. Can you imagine? Just a nice banana hammock going down the first straight.
No pressure, but your other host on the podcast does probably have the best call out of the last copy of the last whole shot challenge. So.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One, I saw that video not too long ago. That was a good one.
You pour maple syrup all over yourself, right?
Yeah, and coffee and stuff. Yeah, I remember James went to the track and filmed it that one day.
If you have that somewhere, you got to send it to me, because I'm gonna post that as a little hype. Yeah. Remember this one? Pro can beat it.
I'll dig it up. Yeah, I got to have it somewhere.
That was hilarious, because you did something with your shirt off, and I remember it was freezing cold out that day when you did this video.
Oh, it was so cold. It was like freezing cold and raining.
That was awesome.
It was cold in Canada. I would have never guessed.
Yeah,
imagine. Weird, right? Weird. Yeah.
While we have you on, what do you think of that? We were just talking about the world's track before we start recording. What do you think of the world's track?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It's super weird to me. I watched the time trials from the French championship over the weekend. There's zero pedaling down the first straight.
I know. Right? That's what we were talking about, like, obviously before we hit record, but it's so weird. I remember watching Eddie's and Sylvain's time trial, and I was like, oh, why aren't they? At first, when I saw Eddie's, I was like, is he not trying, or what's he doing?
Yeah.
But then they all did it. Yeah, super weird.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I watched his. I was like, this bonehead isn't pedaling. What the heck's going on? And then I watched Romain's, and I watched Sylvain, and not one of them took a pedal down the first straight away.
No.
Yeah.
There's not much around the track. I mean, a couple of pedals out of the turn, then you got a roller, a couple of pedals out of the second turn, then it's rhythm section. Like, it's very much like get out front from the start and just keep some flow, it looks like.
It's kind of like medium Euro track. Like, I think for France, I was expecting a little bit more tech to it, kind of like like Gasol, right? It was super tech.
Mm.
But maybe they kept it a little bit tame because they're going to have riders from all over the world there. I don't know. But I expected it to be a little bit more tech, but I like the little last straight thing. That seems to be the hype around the world right now. Everybody's talking about that.
Yeah, honestly, pretty disappointing overall, especially because the lap time, I think, was 28 seconds, which is super short for Supercross or for like a world's track. It's almost like an indoor track length. So I think that's disappointing. I think disappointing, like, they're not sprinting on the first straight. Granted, in racing, that might change. Maybe people will, but looks fairly tight overall. So I don't, yeah, I think they, I mean, they probably restricted with how much space they had, but a little disappointing, I think, for a world's track.
But even if they are sprinting, you're talking maybe one pedal between each jump down straight away. So it's really going to come down to who can get down to the bottom of the hill first and then catch your backside.
That last jump, though, is going to claim some people. That thing is so gnarly. And I saw, I can't remember who, I was watching, I think it might have been Judy or someone just like practice sending it off the last roller. Like, it's like motocross when they have a wall jump and they just like send it and hold the gas wide open.
Yeah. So that's like the difference in motocross is they can scrub it and get back on the gas. So BMXers, that what are you going to pull brakes, then get back on the pedals, or just launch it to the ground?
Yep. Yeah. It'd be nuts. Did you guys see the women's elite final from their national champs?
That's what I was going to bring up next. Yep.
Unreal. I don't know if you saw it, but the second and third, I think it was Mathilde and one of the other girls. We'll get it for the whatever. But oh, here it is. Mathilde and Charlotte. Yeah, they launched it, cased it. I think Mathilde was the one that crashed on it. The other girl ran into her, but they slid across the line, got second and third, I think.
Oh, did they still slide across the line?
I saw the podium and they were both on the podium. So cool. But I didn't think they made it across the line when they slid across. So I was like, what? That's so weird.
What a finish.
Yeah. I saw a video of some guy trying to manual it, which is just the fucking dumbest thing you could ever do. And sure enough, he got launched. He launched over the bars. Like it's
just one of these.
Yeah. Just like is exactly what you're picturing. He did.
Yeah. Perfect. Unreal. I think for your elite men, it's going to be nothing, right? It's a little hop over.
Yeah.
Your elite and juniors, they're going to just do it like another jump on the track. No biggie. Cause it's not even like you're really going to be super fatigued at that point in a 28 second lap.
Yeah.
But I think for everybody else, it's going to be a wild ride. Imagine trying to do that on a cruiser if one of those guys tries to make
Butzka's central.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for amateurs though, like especially younger, maybe like, I don't know, 13 to 14, I don't know exactly how old, but I think it'll be a big difference because some guys will probably do it and some guys won't. And I think someone's going to lose a world champs because of that jump.
I think in your elite women category, you're going to see some big mix-ups for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I think your top riders, they're going to be doing it, and you're going to see some passes where, or you're going to see some crashes where like your fifth place is like, I'm going for it no matter what. And either makes it or doesn't.
Yeah. There's going to be some of those positions where it's like, if you want to make the main or you want to win, like you got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you guys had to race cruiser, would you put one of those rear tire guards on so you wouldn't catch your balls on your tire? I think you'd kind of have to.
Front and rear, you have to.
Oh my God. I haven't rode a cruiser in so long. I am so happy I'd never raced cruiser like when I got older.
Man, that was, I used to call that my ATM because it was free money.
Yeah. cruiser was a lot of money. Yeah.
I raced pro cruiser all the time and I would pull it out of the bag. I'd do three laps. And I know like some days I'd make like $900 from that on a weekend.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And yeah. I didn't have bonus. I was stupid. I didn't have bonuses back then. I should have.
And you know what? Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with people racing cruiser. The only reason I didn't like it, like when I was a bit older, because I didn't want to jump pro sections on it, like especially at world champs and stuff.
Okay. You definitely have to ride the bike different. So that's where I think the elite men, like they're going to jump it. It's whatever. But for everybody else, that jump will cause a little chaos for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it'll be fun to watch, man. It's only like, what, a week away now? 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's snuck up on us 10 days. Like, yeah, whatever, 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any bold predictions from UT, Tyler? Two T's on the show.
Yeah, I think that there's a chance there's going to be a lot of French people in the main events. I know that's crazy. Yeah, what are the odds?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're going to see 5 French in the U23. You'll probably see 4 in the elite men main. Yeah, it's going to be covered with France riders.
Yeah, it's going to be cool to watch.
Surprise, surprise. I bet nobody would have guessed that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, buddy. I'm looking forward to the Whole Shot Challenge. I'm going to come watch, and I think my parents will probably want to come too. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Oh, man. Well, I just appreciate you guys helping me spread the word. Like I said, I really appreciate the support. I think it's going to be cool, and it's a big passion project for me that hopefully can pay off down the long road. I don't know what that may look like, but if we make one thing go good and it works out, I think that there's potential for more. I've already had some people DM me like, hey, do you want to do one with us next year? Hey, we're interested in doing one. So there might be potential. So let's make this the best one we can as a community and we'll roll from there.
I was going to say, if people want to reach out to you about it, what's the best way to contact you?
Probably the easiest way to contact me is social media. Just at TylerBrown316. That's the easiest way. Hit me up on there. I'll do my best to get back to everybody. But yeah, make sure you're at San Diego BMX September 9th, 10th, and 11th. And James, I'll see you down there.
And James, I think Coffee Chatter, we need to live tweet this event for sure. I just thought of that.
I think so. If
yeah, it's, well, be, yeah. It's definitely an event to live. This is like a picture perfect event to live tweet.
It really is. It yeah, is. I think that it really
constant,
is.
There's going to be like more or less constant action, and it's going to be for whatever, like a not like an all day thing. So it'll be perfect. Yep.
That's what's cool about it. It's a couple hours. You can go out, have a beer, tweet it up. You're going to have, since we're just doing first rates, every 10 minutes, there's going to be heat going on. So it's going to be a ton of fun.
Hell yeah. Can't wait. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. You guys have a good day. We'll talk to you later.
See you, thanks, buddy. T.
All right, bye.
Tyler Brown, everybody. Oops. There we go.
No, we're back, baby. TB, you're the whole shot challenge is going to be fucking sick. My parents are going to be in town visiting. So I think me, Savvy, my parents are all going to go and support the event, support Tyler, and just enjoy a fun evening.
That'd be fantastic. I like the fact that it's event. We don't like entertainment.
An event.
It's into entertainment for people to come watch. It doesn't have to be just a bike race. You know, it's entertainment.
So. Yeah, you know what? People like just going out for stuff. So if you have a fun event, even if someone doesn't necessarily care to watch the racing, like people just like a night out.
Yeah. If it's entertainment, you go with your friends, go have some drinks. I'll go out to sporting events if friends want to go out somewhere and like I don't even know what's going on. But if we've gone out to like demolition derbies or like car derbies with Nick and we have no idea what's going on, but heck, it's fun. We're just there with friends. It's an event to go to.
Yeah, I just want to go hang out with your friends. That's the thing, is you could bring a non-BMX friend and they'd probably really enjoy the evening just because it's a fun show.
100%, eh?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Should we do the game?
Let's do the game. All right. So here's what I mustered up for the game today. New fan favorite game coming at you. I'm going to give you five riders. We're going to go individually, rider by rider. You're going to have to try to tell me without looking them up if they what foot they gait with and what foot they ride with.
I like this game.
Okay.
I know when I was racing, I would have known everyone. So I'll see how I do now.
I'm going to start off what I would consider to be more easy. And then I think the last one's probably a little tougher.
Okay.
All right. First rider, Mr. Sylvain André. What foot does he gait with? What foot does he ride with? Forward.
Gates right, rides left.
Great answer. Great job. Laura Smulders.
Gates. Everyone stop.
Everyone's waiting. Everyone in the back and the is playing along with you. They're trying to think and guess too.
I want to say left.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Two for two right now. That's
so me and Laura,
four for four.
Me and Laura the same, both left, right on.
Yeah.
It's actually really rare for left.
I'm surprised you're gotten already. Like I thought I know it's 50-50, but like it's hard to think of sometimes.
Yeah.
This one is a retired athlete now. Twan van Gent. Cool.
Gates right, rides left.
Yep. Three for three. Six for six, kind of. Elise Willoughby.
Right.
Oh my God. All right. I need to pick tougher riders, maybe ones you don't know. All right, last one. Isaac Kennedy. I thought I might stump you with this one. I mean,
I think he's right.
Final guess.
Then he starts left, doesn't he? Left, right.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
I would say, five riders, but you got 9 out of 10 right.
Yeah, I couldn't quite remember with Isaac. I had a feeling it was left and right, but yeah, I couldn't quite remember for the start. I know he rides right.
Yep. Good guesses, though. I was surprised you got that, man, just because, I don't know, it's tough to think about.
It is. Like, riding, you definitely know, but it's hard. You got to think about the gait, I think.
Yep. Next time I'll start going more, I'd say all these people are front runners. Next time I'll go maybe more of a mid-packer.
I think a lot of people gait and ride different foot forward. It's very common. I feel like it's more common than doing the same now.
Why do you think it is? Do you think there's a reason?
I have no idea.
I don't think there's a real reason.
Well, why do 90% of people start with their right foot?
someone told them that they should start with their dominant hand, dominant foot. I don't know. Most people kick a soccer ball with their right foot. So they're like, oh, what do you kick a soccer ball with? Or what do you play baseball? And they're like, right. Okay, start with your right. I don't know.
And I don't know if it's 90%, but it's got to be like 75 or 80% at least.
Yeah, I think we took a poll on this. I think I took a poll on this on Instagram.
Like, it was like 75, 25, I think.
I can't remember now because I think I forgot to go back and talk about it.
It's an overwhelming majority that start with their right foot. I don't know. I think maybe most people must be right-footed. I don't know.
If I wasn't playing this all on my phone, live streaming to YouTube on my phone, then are we still live streaming to YouTube?
Says we're live.
Okay, then we're live. Then I would go on Instagram and check, but that would just mess up the feed, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, there's not many people start with their left foot.
Yeah, okay.
Getting some quick shots?
Let's do it. Fun game.
All right, Tori, I'm on quick shots. Come on, Tori. Let's go.
Your time to shine, buddy. Your time to shine.
Let's go.
Come on, technology, work for me.
What's your favorite track?
Babadel.
Interesting.
I just went for it. I don't know why. I should have said something different now that I think about it.
Chula ABA.
Oh, nice.
Best track. I forgot to say it was from Mid Hosh. From the Notorious Bluebird, best track in the world. For racing, I'd probably say Papendal for racing.
Yeah, that's a great track to race on, yeah. Copenhagen. What? No.
From Team ORP BMX, if the Saudi Public Investment Fund started a big bucks BMX pro league, would you join? I mean, yeah. I mean, what is this question?
If we're getting millions of dollars and... I mean, we're not making millions of dollars right now. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, fuck yeah. Where do I sign, guys?
How do I sign yesterday?
I guess because obviously it's relating to the golf thing right now. So I guess it would be like if the Saudi investment fund said like, so we're going to have this BMX Pro League. You guys will each make $1 million, but you can't race. I guess it'd be like maybe if you can't, probably it'd be like if you can't race the Olympics, I guess would. It's not even that though.
You can't race World Cups.
I mean, yeah, I do it.
Absolutely, I do it, unfortunately, yeah. The difference in life, what our life would change from that money versus what the golfers' lives are changing from their money is drastically different for us, so I'm definitely taking the money.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, like, okay, we've had world championships in China. I mean,
yeah.
How is that different? I mean, you know, like...
You got to pick and choose your battles.
Exactly. Like, I mean, all money from, I mean, most money in the world is dirty. So
yeah, if you honestly want to start breaking it down, that's what it seems to come to all the time. I mean, conversation.
We wear shoes from certain companies that manufacture in sweatshops. So, and we don't think anything of it like as people. I mean, so
at the end of the day, we need money to live on this earth. That's the way the earth is run. The society is run. If you want to do things, you want nice, cool things. You got to pay money for them. The way to get money. Accept the offer.
Yeah, exactly. From Colton Ellison. Wrong one. No, that was a terrible one. I didn't read the question before I read it. Come on, Colton Ellison. ask better questions, man. From Ty Armstrong. Would you rather race on flats or only be able to pedal the first two straights clipped in?
So like after the first two straights, am I in clips?
Would you rather be able to race flats normally? Would you rather be able to race flats normally or race clips, but you can only pedal the first two straights? This is an odd question, but let's roll with it.
We're going to make it up the way we want it. How do you want to roll it? Like, do I unclip after the second turn and I'm like on clip pedals with my clip shoes, just trying to limp to the line? Or do I just get to stop pedaling and I just get to flow my way to the line?
You just flow your way. Yeah.
I'd take that. I'd flow my way to the line. I guess most tracks you can probably get away with that'd be tough.
What is this obsession in our sport that I'm not saying Ty has this obsession. I'm just saying in general, what is this obsession people have with flat pedals? I don't understand it.
What do you mean an obsession though? What obsession are you talking about?
If people think clips are bad and we should be racing on flats and flat pedals are just the greatest thing. I don't get why. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I don't hear that often these days.
You still hear the odd person like, we should be running. Why? Like, who cares?
You want me to give you something relatable to this? This is okay. Like you telling me the conversation about they need to tone back the golf balls. I think they need to bring it back to a different level. I think, though, it changes the sport if you put flats on, whereas if you tone a golf ball down, it doesn't change the sport, but it does change things.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think, well, in terms of golf, they're hitting it so far that a lot of the courses are becoming completely obsolete and they can't just change the courses. Like, the guys are just fucking lighting these courses on fire, whereas they used to be a challenge, and they can't just make the course twice the size. Whereas I think, like, even on clips on BMX, it's not like we're getting to the point in the sport where the tracks aren't challenging. You can always make the tracks challenging.
I think you can, but they're all the jumps seem to be small for us these days. I don't think like you look at the track for Worlds, I don't think the second straight looks miniature. So it's not like small by any means, but you look at Papendal, like the berm jump's tiny nowadays. I'm not saying it ever used to be big, but it's tiny. So it's like,
But you could quite easily make tracks more challenging without having to put everyone on flats.
I agree that too. Yeah.
It wouldn't be like that hard. So
it just causes risk for slipping a pedal. Who wants that in a race?
I would more risk with riding flats than clips.
Oh, definitely. 100%. Yeah. Blowing feet off a lot easier. It's just, you have to change the way you ride, but.
Yeah. And I think everyone's proven there's a ton of skill, that it's not like people are using clips for skill. It's not really a thing. From Sebas404. You know what? Shout out Sebas404. He's been a coffee chatter OG since we started. I think he's had a quick shot almost every show. I mean, thanks for supporting the show, brother.
He's definitely had over 160 quick shots submitted in. I love
it. Oh, 100%. You know what? We love it. Thanks, absolutely, brother. Keep it going. We appreciate you. Maybe not exactly a whole shot hot shot. Okay, it's quick shot. So 160 shows in, Sebas. Quick shot. All right, Sebas, you just ruined it. It's a quick shot. All right, maybe not exactly a quick shot, but food on race day, what to eat, not eat. I would say just stick to what you're comfortable with and something you can easily stomach. It's a bit different for everyone, but don't eat something like on race day that you never eat before. I mean, stick to easy to digest food. Personally, I would eat peanut butter, honey, and banana sandwiches because they were easy, filling, and delicious.
Yeah. You never gone and had an Eggs Benedict for breakfast. Don't just decide to have an Eggs Benedict for breakfast on race day.
Yeah. Don't just go to Waffle House. You know, just get steak and eggs on morning of when you're on the morning of race day, when you're used to oatmeal. Yeah. Like, it's not going to work.
Keep it to the basics. Oatmeal. Well, yeah. Peanut butter sani, some bananas.
What's your favorite night before meal?
A nice bolognese pasta.
Pasta.
Actually, cancel that. Pesto pasta.
Mine was always spaghetti bolognese for sure.
Yeah. So I never really liked spaghetti as a kid because I didn't like doing the twirl up. Twirl you do with the fork and the spoon, like a proper spaghetti. And I never really understood or even got told the idea of cutting spaghetti up like a little child does until I was like 22, 23 years old. And Sean Gain was like, chopping his spaghetti up. I'm like, now spaghetti's fantastic. Spaghetti's way better once you learn that.
I'm a big cutter, always have been.
Yeah, it just makes life so much easier.
You just cut it and then you just put the knife down and then you just eat with the fork.
That's perfect.
There's not much better than like a nice spaghetti bolognese.
No, it's fantastic. A nice Italian restaurant too. Like, that's somewhere, if you go to a nice classic homey Italian restaurant, it's so much better than just the stock chain ones.
God, it's so fucking good too.
Oh, I'm getting hungry again.
I know. I want some now, actually. From Harley TRT, favorite frozen treat?
Ice cream. Like, does ice cream just a frozen treat? Because I'll take ice cream or frozen Oreos.
What flavor?
Oreo ice cream or chocolate.
Speaking of frozen treat, I just bought these gummies and I put them in the freezer, and to make them hard, fuck, they were good.
Gummies in the freezer. Wow. This is a first for me. I've never heard of that.
So I like stale candy, like when you leave like gummies out and you open them, so they get like a little hard and like tough. I think it's delicious. You just put them in the freezer and they're just hard and tough and like cool, and they are fantastic.
I need to try this.
Yeah.
Might blow my world. All right.
All right. This one's for Sylvan, but we'll answer. I think people get confused sometimes if we put a picture of someone, they think they're coming on the show.
Yeah, no, that's not a thing. It's if we post it, we're with them or they're guests.
But you know, like, as Tyler asked us too, like, if Sylvain was coming on the show, like, no, we just used this photo.
Yeah, that was all.
We'll answer this one for said Neveu. Questions to Sylvain Andre BMX. Did winning the time trial give him a psychological advantage for the next day race? I mean, we can't speak for him, but from experience, I mean, I would say it does. If you start the weekend off with the time trial win, you roll into the next day with some good confidence. So, I mean, I think it does a bit, yeah.
Fair. I've never won a time trial win, gone on to the race like that, so I literally am not going to answer, and I have no idea.
I mean, everyone's good at starting fresh, so if you completely botch your time trial, I mean,
it sucks.
I don't think people really give a shit going to the next day for race day. They're over it, but I mean, it definitely helps if you win it,
yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not hurting you winning the time trial.
No, that's not hurting.
I would like to know how the quarters or semis went for him to be going out in lane six and the other guys, you know, Romain and Jeremy 1-2.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Any more?
Show 160. That's it. That's all we got.
I got one for you.
Oh, you got one.
Just one from an answer in the chat here, but Chris Wilkinson, serious question. Who wins? James with 3 stem bolts or Tori with 3 chainring bolts?
James could have both of those issues right now and still beat me.
I responded back. I was like, well, if we're talking Tori in his prime, I'm winning because he's shearing 3 chainring bolts off, clean off, no problem.
If I ran 3 chainring bolts, I'm not making it to my third pedal.
With your quads and your legs and how strong you were, no chance. I'm just going to ease the first pedal with those bars and just cruise it around.
I would have to go 3 stem bolts and then just not case. There's no way to get out of the gate with 3 chainring bolts.
I don't think you would.
No. No chance.
Oh, classic.
Yeah. All right. Show 160. Thanks for joining, everyone. Next week, I dare say we'll be doing a world's preview.
Absolutely. I'll be doing it from France. From France.
Quick update on our white whale. Nothing.
Nothing, hey?
Nothing for months. Not since email. And I was hanging out with Sam and Elise on the weekend. Actually, went to the Gaines house.
Yeah.
To hang out for dinner, which hadn't seen Tommy Gain in a while. Shout out to Sean Gain, just got engaged, sent us the photo of him and Claire. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's public news now. Claire posted it.
We should have started the show with that. Totally forgot, but congrats to our good friend and brother, Sean Gain, on the engagement.
Unbelievable.
You know what? Should we tell quick story time?
Yeah.
So his girlfriend, Claire, was in Greece with her family. He coordinated with her dad to surprise her. So his parents showed me the video. He flew there, took the train from the airport to meet them. And then Claire's dad was filming, and Sean like rolled up with his backpack still on, like gave Claire a hug. And you could like kind of hear what they were saying. And then just got out and like pulled out the ring, got on one knee, proposed. She said yes, got up, hugged. And then he just, yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. So he still had his fucking backpack on straight off the flight.
Sean fucking Gade, you dog.
Dude, talk about stepping up to the plate.
That is, what a guy.
Because like when he first told us that he like flew there to surprise her, I assumed that like, you know, flew there, surprised her, and then maybe whatever, did it at dinner or something.
Like maybe like a next day or something too. Like he could have surprised her for just being there first off.
Dude, how about that? The whole train ride, you're just like, yeah, I'm just gonna fucking do it.
I'm just a whole flight thinking I'm here to do it. I'm going to do it. I hope what a legend. I hope he told me
I'm like, feel so excited for him.
Dude, my heart's like, just thinking about that. My heart's kind of like racing. Like, that's epic.
I know. I'm like hyped thinking about it. And then think about her. Like, you're just obviously shocked that you just see him. And then you're just engaged. And you're like 30 seconds ago, I was just like looking at this building in Europe.
30 seconds ago, I thought you were in Chicago and we were just, you know, dating, basically boyfriend and girlfriend. Now we're just married and we're in Greece and you're here.
Yeah. 30 seconds ago, I was just like going to go, you know, get a bottle of water at this little stand here. And then all of a sudden I'm engaged.
What a way to do it.
Which is pretty, yeah, that's pretty legendary.
You know, Sean's a pretty, I would say, you know, reserved guy. Reserved is a good way to put it, I feel like. So for him to pull that one off and go do that, he's a romantic guy now.
Yeah.
Big romantic guy.
So, congrats to Sean. And so we were at his parents' house and I was telling Sam and Elise that, you know, we had the white whale and I used his full name with them, randomly reached out. And then, you know, I emailed him back, wanted to coordinate him to come on the pod, and then just haven't heard since.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
If people know who the white whale is, if you know, like, keep reaching out to him for us, if you could. I mean, he's our white whale. We want him on.
Yeah. yeah, so that would be a phenomenal pod.
Man, would it ever.
So I don't know when we're going to hear from the White Whale. I could reach out via email
If we ever had the funds to be able to fly a guest and all of us into one place, this would be a one to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
Yeah. In other news, we also have a Coffee Chatter golf trip coming up.
Oh, yeah, we do. After World Champs.
Yeah, after World Champs, we have a Coffee Chatter golf trip. Me and Palm Daddy, we should try and get some actual content for it, because like we'll probably play golf with Maris, and I think it'd be fun to actually like do something.
We should. A video or some questions for, you know, while we're out in the course, you know, after dark questions, all the above. It'd be fun.
We should do it like a little video match or something.
That'd be funny. That'd be awesome.
I know.
How do it?
But yeah, we'll see you next week with the Worlds preview, folks. Get fucking hyped. Worlds month.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Thanks for listening, guys. Snap on green.
Progress Europe. Snap on green.
Well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the track.
I hate that guy.